Hey everybody, I'm Julia.
I'm Miranda.
And we're here to do one thing.
Put the pee in raspberry. And just like the pee in raspberry,
everything we're about to say is completely pointless.
Every week, Julia and I will give our unwanted opinions on all things pop culture.
Because what the world needs now, more than ever, is another flamboyantly beguiling duo with a podcast that contributes absolutely nothing to society. Enjoy! Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Pee and Raspberry. However, this episode is a special episode. Miranda and I have decided to make an exception for part two, Jules. The new Euphoria special, our episodes will still be released every Wednesday. This is a special circumstance. Yes. Miranda, please tell our audience hello.
Hello, everyone. So as Julia said, yes, we felt the need to discuss this on a totally separate special episode because, as you all know, we are obsessed with Zendaya and, of course, obsessed with Euphoria and, of course, obsessed with Hunter Schafer. So the Jules episode came out recently, and we just want to discuss it because it was absolutely beautiful.
Yes. If you know Miranda and I, which I hope a lot of you do not, you would know that this episode, or I guess not this episode even, but Euphoria in general, we physically cannot withhold ourselves from discussing. It wouldn't even make sense if we had this podcast and didn't discuss it. That's like, I can't even compare. There's nothing to even compare. Like, that's like bizarro to me. So anyways, me being a young biracial woman, I am Rue. It just is a thing. I've contacted Zendaya about it a lot of times. And, you know, I associate. And Miranda being white and skinny and tall, of course, is Jules. This is something that the general public knows about us too, Miranda.
Although it does go further than just our appearance. I will say.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Oh, we found too many similarities.
Too many.
Anyways, because of our connections, I am ecstatic for Miranda to kind of take the wheel here. Sort of imagine Miranda, if you will, riding on her bike like Jules in episode one when Stinky Nate and everyone looks at her. Oh, so disgusting. But no, but imagine her. So I'm Rue in the back of the car. And I'm seeing Jules for the first time slash Miranda. And that's us going into this episode. That's how we prepared for it. So, yes. And Nate is like on fire. So Miranda is going to introduce us into part two, Jules. However, first, I do think it would be wildly inappropriate and frankly borderlining disgusting to not mention part one, Rue, first. Obviously, this special set up the future of Euphoria after coronavirus abruptly halted the filming of season two. Oh, sorry. Part one, Rue, was a big deal because when it was announced that it was coming out, I, you know, promoted it a bunch, as I tend to do. And I got so many, like, DMs from people I know in real life being like, literally, what is this? Like, what does this mean? Like, is this season two? Like, what's going on?
It is not season two.
I was going to say, Miranda, really quickly, maybe just for our audience, do you want to, like, just quickly kind of explain like what the bridge episodes are like?
Yeah, so the bridge episodes, as I said, are not season two. They are sort of an expansion on two characters, I would say, on both Rue and Jules. So you can see how they're feeling after the end of season one, basically. Because it's sort of, I mean, it really ended on a cliffhanger. And so you get this close-up look into how both of them are doing.
And I think that the bridge episodes, because wasn't it like the cast was on set for season two for literally one day?
Yeah.
And it got shut down. So, and then, you know, like a month or two after they announced there'd be bridge episodes. I do think that the bridge episodes are showing how shows like Euphoria, specifically like the young cast and writer and everything, is the future of television for our generation, because coronavirus is obviously extremely unpredictable. Obviously, when they started filming season one, they didn't. Nobody assumes, oh, for, you know,
yeah,
virus-related purposes, we can't film season two. So I think that it's the future of television. Literally, they were like, okay, the fans want another season. We don't know when that can be. So how can we give them something to just like hold them over and keep them interested? And I think it was so smart. And if you're anything like Miranda and I, these episodes have been your religion, your complete religion. And as annoying it was to wait for part two, Jules, I do think it was quite intelligent to space them out like that.
I agree.
I think if we had them all right away, we would have combusted. Literally combusted. Okay, anyways, so I want to really quickly discuss part one. Rue, this episode is supposed to be about part two, but maybe if you didn't get to catch it, which shame on you, guys, seriously.
Yeah, I will say, let me just go back and say, it's not season two, but it is absolutely vital to watch these episodes if you like want to understand the show as a whole.
Very amazing, Miranda. I forget. You know, Jules and Miranda, both the smart ones. No, I 100% was going to say, if you dive right into season two, like, of course you're going to understand simple plot points, I would hope. You know, if Maddie does something, like, okay, fine. But these episodes, specifically, I think, part two, Jules, which is why I'm so excited we're making this, it's so important to who the characters are. And it shows you so much more. And it's just so important. I mean, even if they don't, though, it's like, if you don't watch the episodes, even beyond their emotions and their personalities, people will probably be confused as to how Jules is even back in town, or like when she got back. Like, there are just simple things. Like, some people I know who watch the show, I say Ali to them and they're like, who is that? And I'm like, okay, well, yeah.
One of the best characters, but okay.
Exactly. So no, it's very, very important that you watch them. And frankly, we can discuss this another time, but frankly, if you find either the Bridge episodes boring, I don't think you should watch the show in general. The show is quite literally, it's been confirmed at this point that it's about Rue and Jules. It really, really is. So if you're really only in it for like the bright colors and the costumes, like, just look up images on Google. And like, have yourself a field day. Like, don't use your parents' monies for the HBO Max account when, like, you don't even care about Rue's storyline. That's strange.
Yeah.
Not at all. Okay, anyway, so really quickly. So part one, Rue, basically almost the entire episode, it was like over 50 minutes long. Basically the entire episode was Rue and Ali, her sponsor, in a diner on Christmas Eve, talking about Rue's life, talking a little bit about Ali himself and all he's been through. And, you know, Rue revealed some very dark feelings that she's had in her life. Of course, she talked about Jules. And Ali kind of, he was cool because he kind of almost like put her in her place in a way. And he gave her that tough love. And there's this like great part where he looks at her and he's like, you're 17, you don't know shit. It's very cool because they both kind of bare their souls to each other. And in the very beginning, we get this sort of dream slash vision, whatever you want to call it, of Rue and Jules. It's Rue's vision of them living in New York City after high school. And it's them in this trendy apartment that they would never be able to afford. It's like exposed brick. It's like roomy. I'm like, come on. But in this vision, basically, it starts with Rue kissing up Jules' side. Adorable. And basically, Jules leaves for the day. I think it's implied she's going to like a fashion college. Yes. Or not fashion, like a...
like something like in design.
Some sort of artistic. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, designing. Yeah. And so she leaves for the day. They're so happy. They're like this great couple. And Rue, after she leaves, immediately, you know, goes into the bathroom and edits the drugs. So anyways, and then yes, it goes into her in real time at the diner with Ali. And it's a very, very powerful episode. And it does this thing that I love that like a lot of movies and TV shows don't do at all. But it's when they hold the title card until the very end, or just at least they don't play it in the beginning. So obviously every Euphoria episode, something happens and like a minute into it, we get the title card of Euphoria. But this episode, the title card, it's at the very, very end. And that's like a trick used in TV and film to make you like, because you get, when a title card comes to the screen, you kind of like exhale. Like it's like, because we're naturally looking for that. So I just thought it was so cool. And it's a very powerful episode. It's very sad and it's very raw and real. And both Zendaya and, is his name Coleman?
Yes,
Coleman. That's the actor who plays Ali. They both did an amazing job. Like, I seriously think the episode was so powerful and necessary.
Yeah. And what I liked about it, and we'll talk about this with the Jules episode too, because both of them were very relatable to like anyone. And what, because obviously they were created after like coronavirus started and I'm pretty sure they were both created after, like, the Black Lives Matter protests over the summer and just, you know, in the past forever. And so I feel like, especially with the Rue episode, they touched on a couple things that were vague enough to be applied to COVID, like the world after COVID and the world with this Black Lives Matter movement that's happening right now. And so that's one of the things that I really, really enjoyed about it.
The thing that I really like about Euphoria is obviously every character has very specific things about them. Obviously, Rue is an addict. Obviously, Jules is trans, and a bunch of characters have very specific traits about them. However, you don't need to be those things to be able to relate. And I felt like Rue especially, obviously I say I'm her. It's something, you know, we've all heard a lot by now. But in all seriousness, this episode's really relatable in a sad way. Like, you kind of wish you didn't relate to it. And that's what's really cool, too, is that Ali said he was, like, 50 and he was relating to Rue, you know? So it was, like, really cool. And I think that's all we need to talk about part one. I just wanted to give that some credit, because if we had had this podcast as that was coming out, you know, we would be talking about that for 10 hours straight, because I've never seen Zendaya in such a professional light. Mwah! Loved it. And now Miranda will give us her Jules take.
Please. Okay. Well, I would like to start with just two statements. First of all, Hunter Schafer is a phenomenal actress and writer, because she did co-write this episode with Sam Levinson, and just overall creator. I bow down to her. And second of all, just want to say that if you watched this special episode and you still have no empathy for Jules, or you still don't like her, you're still one of those idiots on Twitter sending her hate, please turn off this podcast and don't speak to us. And that's all.
I meant to give that disclaimer. We should have given that disclaimer in the beginning. Much earlier. I'm sorry. Yes.
But yes, so the actual episode, it starts with this beautiful recap through the tune of Liability, and you get to see quite literally the happenings of season one through Jules's eyes, and it just hurts you right away, right at the beginning of the episode.
Right away. That's a very powerful opening, and for those of you who don't know, that was not like CGI or anything. That was really just Hunter looking at these images, and it's beautiful. And Hunter, I don't know if you want to share this, but
I don't know.
Didn't Hunter say. Sorry, I'm not being specific, but didn't Hunter say that Lorde's album was like the first, like that album was the first album that actually really like impacted her?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I saw that like the other day. Yeah, that's like why it's Liability.
Okay. Well, because she did that Q&A where she said that it wasn't, I'm pretty sure she said it wasn't her idea, but she understands that, like, because she also loves that song. And she knew that it
Well, maybe it's just people. Ironic, but she did say that album, like in a different interview, not like Euphoria related, I guess, but she, I don't know what word she was impacted or whatever, but she was like, that's the album from like start to finish that really, impeccable taste, but yes.
Yeah, and what I like about that is that, well, first of all, it starts in a therapist's office, and so a lot of the episode is Jules talking to a therapist during their first session, which I really liked. I liked the therapist character. I feel like TV shows can do therapists very wrong. And I feel like this was a really good representation of a good therapist. And with that Liability montage, it's, I think in the beginning, the therapist is like, why did you run away? Is that what she asks? And then it shows that whole montage of everything that happened in season one.
Yeah.
And then Jules is like, I don't want to talk about it. And you're like, yes, I know, because so much happened to her. Of course she doesn't want to talk about it.
And I think it's very real that Jules, this is her first session. This was her, she mentions later in the episode how her dad was forcing her to go to therapy after running away. Or, I don't think necessarily forcing, but whatever. Yeah. So this was her first session. You can tell the entire session she's very kind of apprehensive, and it's very raw and vulnerable to like go to therapy and like admit these things about yourself. I think it was really like cool and relatable and realistic that you see all that's happened literally through Jules's eye. And then she's like, I don't want to talk about it, because it's just so hard and it's so much to like dive into, and it's so much easier. And like, I feel like Jules very much was trying to be as nice as possible and as cooperative as possible. But it's also not easy to sit there and be like, okay, so here's what happened on season one of Euphoria.
Yeah. Because you really, you have to build up that trust with a therapist. You can't, I mean, I'm sure some people do, but to me, it's like you have to learn that that's a comfortable space to share all of that type of stuff. It's unlikely Absolutely. That you'd want to just go right away say all that. But so what she says, instead of talking about the things that happened during season one, Jewel says that she wants to go off her hormones. So she wants to go off her estrogen. And then she goes into a conversation about gender, gender performance, sexuality, all of this stuff, and talking about femininity and all this stuff that is very relatable to a lot of people watching. I know that I related to a lot of it. I know you said you did, Julia.
I do. Literally, when she said, well, first she said, I'm no longer interested in what men want. Mm-hmm. And actually, right before we started recording this, I found her exact excerpt, if I can read it, please. I know that I don't like embody Jules, but she said, so just if you haven't watched it or if you need a refresher, this is what she said. Basically, I feel like I frame my entire womanhood around men, when like in reality, I'm no longer interested in men, like philosophically, like what men want. Like what men want is so boring and simple and not creative. And like, I just like, I look at myself and I'm like, how the F did I spend my entire life building this? Like size, like my body and my personality and like my soul around what I think men desire. It's just like, it's embarrassing. I feel like a fraud. So that was her little moment of
beautiful theatric
self-realization
reading.
Thank you very much. I wasn't really sure anyways, but then she says, and I know that Miranda and I both like, this is very much a big quote that stands out. She said something like, I tried to conquer femininity, or I try to conquer femininity. And then she says, I feel like femininity conquered me. And it's like very relatable, and you don't have to be trans to feel confused about what femininity means, or like why you even want to partake in femininity, or just like any of these things. And it was very like interesting. I really like how they went in that direction, because Jules is obviously the character who's always wearing kind of traditionally feminine outfits. Like she wears skirts and pink eyeshadow all the time, and like has this long blonde hair that a million girls would die for. And like, it's very interesting sometimes, because I feel like it's really easy to look at someone and like how they're dressed and how they act and what they said in that moment and be like, oh, they're so feminine, or like, oh, they're so masculine, or whatever, and like just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But like Jules herself is like, I don't even know what I feel, and I feel like it's based off this like men and masculinity. And that's so relatable. You know, like if I'm in a room with all guys and I'm like wearing like an oversized sweatshirt and like sweats, like obviously I feel so ugly because I don't feel feminine, which is like ridiculous. God, I hate it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was beautiful. And knowing that Hunter co-wrote this makes that fantastic, because I highly doubt Sam Levinson is like, oh, I know exactly what a teenage girl would say about femininity.
Yeah, you can really tell that it's not only Jules speaking, but it's Hunter speaking as well. And that's what's
definitely,
you know, it really like takes it to the next level. But yeah, that quote that you read is everything. Like, I like the part where she says, what men want is so boring and simple and not creative, because it's so true.
So
and
true.
It's, you know, if you're taught to think that femininity is what men say it is, and it's what masculinity is not, it's such a, like, small box to fit in.
So boring.
There's no room to move and be creative.
I mean, think about, because she said, like, men are so boring and not creative. Think about it. Just naming a man off the top of my head, like Ben Affleck. But then just thinking about a woman off the top of my head, Zendaya. Like, just that
you
huge
see the difference
there. Do you get it now? Like, if you were pro men before this, like, I'm assuming now you're like, oh,
yeah, anti-men.
Okay. Yeah, of course, as everyone should be. I think that's really great. And like, Jules, even throughout the episode, a lot of times kind of mentions like men, and like she even mentions the thing in her arm that prevents, you know, certain things
like
from happening
puberty.
To her body.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of it, she's like, she laughs and she goes, the kind of that men wouldn't find desirable. And it's just interesting because she always, like, I don't even know if it's intentional, but it's always this coming back to, like, what men want, and not even what men want, but, like, the stereotypical man her age. Because obviously we all know not every man feels this way, obviously. Not every woman feels this way, whatever. But, like, it's very interesting because I feel like Jules, throughout her whole session with a therapist too, is very focused on other people. Mm-hmm. And we've seen throughout the show that Jules is, like, very giving and very thoughtful of other people. And, guys, this is why, you know, you'll come to see that she's just like Miranda. But it's very, like, it's very, like, oh, well, you know, Rue wants this, though, and men wouldn't want this. And, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just interesting to me because obviously the therapist wants to know about her. And I feel like Jules is, like, as much as she embraces herself and loves herself and, like, works on herself, she even admits the real me is under the million layers that you see right now.
Yeah.
Beautiful writing. Literally so good.
That's what I was just going to say. She tries to be herself as much as she can, but I feel like she doesn't even know who she is anymore. And Hunter did say that one of the things that she relates to between, like, her actual self and Jules as a character is being very confident in who you are and, you know, who you are, like, in this world and in your friendships and things like that, but at the same time, constantly questioning who you are. And it's just this paradox that is spiraling around her mind all the time.
And Hunter even said in, like, the post interview, for those of you who don't know, on, like, HBO Max and stuff, like, they'll show you, you know, interviews that are actually really interesting. And Hunter, like, said it was actually around Jules's age, so, like, 17-ish, mm-hmm. that Hunter herself realized her identity is not linear. Like, it's not this A to B. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was really cool for me and really interesting because That's just so smart to know, like, okay, I'm writing this character a few years younger than me. What was I realizing and, like, noticing at this age? Like, that's literally what good writing is.
Yeah.
And it was so good and so smart. And like I said, once again, like, you don't have to be Jules to feel this and to understand this. And I want Nate locked up. That's not what we're talking about, but.
But yes, you don't have to be Jules to understand it. But at the same time, you know, the representation of a trans girl on screen is really beautiful.
Oh, and I'm sure, absolutely. You know,
for people who are trans who are watching it, it's greatly appreciated.
No, it really is amazing. And I actually love the show's gotten comments about this in terms of the lead being a Black woman. But both Rue and Jules, neither of their stories are about being Black or being trans. Mm-hmm. And, like, if this is real life, I know for – well, I mean, we do see it in the show, of course, a lot of transphobia against Jules. There's homophobia and stuff from Nate. But, like, it's not a show necessarily about a trans girl. It's not a show about, like, a Black girl. And, like, we all know that obviously, yes, in the real world, like, if they were real people, yes, I'm sure Rue sometimes would be pushed aside from, like, her white classmates for her appearance. I know for a fact Jules obviously would be – alienate it from a bunch of people. They're disgusting people, whatever. But, like, I like the fact that, like, the show's general basis, you know, is just, like, here are these teenagers dealing with addiction, high school, teenage stuff. Like, and it's not necessarily about that. And I know that some Black people, obviously I am Black myself, but I know that some Black people have said, like, oh, I wish, I don't know, like, Rue had mentions of this. And, like, I get it to a certain extent, of course. But at the same time, I do think it's kind of powerful that, like, for example, Rue met Jules, quickly fell in love with her, never once has, like, commented on the fact that she's trans, or at least not in a negative way. I'm sure they talk about it, and it showed her giving Jules her estrogen shot, which is beautiful. And I think that there's so many girls in my grade, so many girls in my grade who would, no, I cannot picture them giving a girl her estrogen shot. I just can't. So I think it's really amazing that there's such a lack of questioning, and it's just the norm. And I do think that's where, like, our generation is headed, definitely. Mm-hmm. If, like, this is just, okay, great, like, you're trans, you're Black.
Yeah.
Nate's a criminal, like, moving on.
Because so many shows in the past have just been like, well, this is the gay character and this is the Black character, or, like, this is the trans.
Exactly.
And that's, like, their main character point. And without when you don't do that, it allows you to have more complex characters. And talking about like sexuality, how Rue and Jules are obviously in a, you know, more romantic relationship. They never label it. They don't label their sexuality. And a lot of people really appreciated that. And I do think that that's part of why their relationship is so misunderstood, especially by people who aren't queer, who, you know, don't understand those sort of complicated queer relationships. And so I really like that they don't have labels. But at the same time, in these two special episodes, they address Rue and Jules much more directly than they ever had during season one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, moving on to sort of the next part of the episode, since we are talking about Rue so much, the next part is Jules talking about how Rue was the first girl who didn't just look at her, she actually saw her, and then talking about how in love she fell with Rue, basically.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful because she says, you know, she's the first girl who ever saw me. And then I'm pretty sure it's in the same scene that she says she sees her in the way like a mother sees her. I don't know if she said daughter or just like child or whatever. Yeah. And she mentioned how mothers love you unconditionally before they even meet you. Mm-hmm. And that's very much a sense she feels with Rue. And that, before we even knew anything about Jules' mom, though, that immediately when we were watching it for the first time, I texted Miranda and I was like, oh my God, like not her comparing it to her mom. Because like I said, before we even knew, like I wasn't even sure. Did they mention if she like even had a mom in season one? Like I didn't even know that relationship
at
all. What
they say when they introduce Jules is that her parents had gotten divorced, and Rue in her narration says like her dad got custody, or she lives with her dad now, which means you know something went down.
Oh, right.
Because usually moms
get custody.
She
was like, that's very rare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know that there's something about the mom.
Right. See, yeah, that was very interesting to me because I was like, oh my God, she compared her to her mom, and she associates a mom as like this unconditional loving person, which not everyone does. Mm-hmm. And yet, yeah, we don't get mentions of the mom and whatnot. And that immediately, though, when she said that, that was like a red flag for me because people say it's very, first of all, it's very common that whatever like gender you're attracted to, you tend to date people that reminds you of that parent for you. A lot of women are like, oh, I literally only date people like my dad. So strange.
Well, it's because I think it's that you often date people that give love in a similar way to the parent who like never gave you enough love, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because you're
yes,
looking for that
also,
love from somewhere else. Go ahead, sorry.
No, yes, but also like I watch a lot of Real Housewives in New York City, and like the other day, like the girl was legit like, no, like I will only fall for people that are like, it's just like weird. And like, I understand what you're saying. I just wouldn't. I mean, I'm sure like underlyingly the way somebody gives me love would probably remind me of like my family members, but I would not go that deep to be like, whatever. But anyways, that made me nervous because immediately if you do make that connection, if you associate someone with someone who's so important to you, like your mother or your father or like your siblings or whoever, that immediately there's more riding on the relationship. You know what I mean? Like it's immediately like some people will legitimately be like, oh, you remind me so much of this person. And then therefore they like can't let you go because they're like, no, you originally reminded me of blah, blah, blah. So you must be the best person ever. And so that made me like nervous because I was like, it's obvious Jules still has some love towards her mom, whatever her story is or whatever. So like her saying Rue's love reminds her of her mom's love. Maybe she's missing her mom and this is like comforting her. Like the whole thing just like sketched me out. And we know these two do not have the easiest, best relationship at all. So I was like, oh boy. And then Miranda, if you want to, well, you don't have to go onto this yet, but since I'm talking about it, if you want to mention kind of the mom's reveal towards Jules's mom, if you're ready
well,
to talk about that.
It's revealed that Jules's mom is also an addict and has, I mean, I'm sure that's a large part of the reason why her parents split up. I mean, we don't really know everything. We know that her mom, I believe, was in and out of a halfway house, I think is what they said. And we don't know that much about it, but we do know that there's a scene where Jules' dad basically surprises her with her mom at their house a week before Halloween. So this is back during the events of season one, basically.
Wait, I'm going to cut you off real quick. You have to explain, though, how they shot that because that's symbolic in itself. Like, you have to explain.
Oh, my God. I know.
The edit.
There's so much. Okay, so rewinding a little. There's, Jewel says in her therapy session that she had a nightmare about Rue, where they're in an apartment in New York City, so it's the same setting from Rue's dream, which was a really happy, loving dream, whereas Jules has a nightmare that she comes home and Rue has locked herself in the bathroom. And so it's this heartbreaking scene of Jules increasingly getting more and more upset as she's trying to knock down the bathroom door, basically, because she's extremely worried about Rue because Rue isn't answering. So the way that it's edited is that Jules is trying to open this door, and then it cuts to Jules opening the door to her own house and walking in to see her mom.
Claps.
Yes.
Claps.
Claps. So, yes, so seeing that whole thing, Jules is really upset that her dad did this without telling her. She's yelling about it, and her mom overhears, and then her mom leaves. And so that whole thing really shows what Jules was going through at the same time of all this other stuff, at the same time of all the stuff with Nate and everything with Rue. And so it really shows you how season one did not reveal everything about what was happening with each character.
The fact that they had that happen, you know, during the day, during Halloween, and as I'm sure everyone remembers, basically an entire episode was like based around Halloween, is so smart, because I think a big reason why people with really small brains thought that Jules was, I can't even believe I'm saying the villain, because I still, the most I would think is like, she's not my favorite character in the world, but the villain is just, anyways.
I know.
I think a huge reason why people thought that was the Halloween episode, in which, you know, Rue's finally sober and she's working on it and Jules gets very drunk. And first of all, though, I don't even care if nothing was happening in Jules' life, like at all. If she had the most perfect life, let's pretend. She is a teenager in high school at a huge Halloween party. Like, that's just unfair to even say, just because she happens to be Rue's close friend. Then sometimes that just happens. Like, sometimes a high schooler goes to a party and gets drunk. It's like everyone who said she was a villain because of that blacks out every Friday and Saturday. So, like, guess you're all the villains. Knowing that that is literally what she experienced, like, hours before this party. Because remember, she legitimately on Halloween opens the door to Rue and is, like, completely, like, not really having Rue's entire presence is so...
I will say we are missing a little bit in our retelling, because the mom, the thing where her mom shows up at her house... happens actually a week before Halloween. And then on Halloween, literally moments before Rue rings her doorbell, Jules overhears her dad on the phone talking to someone, saying that her mom had been missing.
Yes.
And had relapsed.
Yeah.
So no, Jules hears that, then goes to open the door to Rue, and then is like, yeah, I'm going to get really drunk tonight.
Right.
Which obviously is an unhealthy coping mechanism, but it really gives you an explanation as to, like,
It's unhealthy, but at the same time, Jules knows that her being at this gigantic high school party, no one's going to question the fact that she's drinking. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the sad thing, is, like, a lot of high schoolers do that because drinking is, like, so normalized that, you know, no one's going to question it. But yeah, because, no, literally, she opens the door to Rue and Rue, like, reaches in for a little kiss and Jules immediately is, like, obviously annoyed, and Rue has no idea what she's done, and that causes Rue to internally freak out because she's like, oh my god, what have I done? And it's crazy because nobody knows this about Jules, and she is, like, holding in all this terrible stuff. And I can't believe, I mean, this episode, I feel so bad because it's basically been, like, confirmed at this point that they almost felt like they need it to do this for Jules, because so many viewers just completely were not understanding Jules. And, like I said, I'm not asking you. I don't even think I watch TV shows and understand, obviously, the characters. Like, nobody does as much as the writer. Like, of course, you know, I'm not the smartest person. Like, I'll admit it here first. But to just I don't even understand. Nate Jacobs has done the unthinkable. Even, like, Maddie, like, a lot of these characters have done things that can land them in jail. And people are like, well, F Jules, because, like, she got drunk. That's, like, terrible. Like, what 17-year-old would get drunk on Halloween? And also, like, she's like, I'm struggling to even come up with stuff right now because, like, what has Jules done wrong? But
yeah,
it's so necessary that we saw this through Jules's point of view, because what would I do in that situation? Like, if your mom was an addict and in real time, mm-hmm. as your someone who's like in the running to be your literal girlfriend is trying to become sober and all these things, and your mother has realized, like, what would you do? There's literally no right answer. Yeah. Like, there's no way that you win. So, like, why don't we all shut up and, like, finally understand that if you think Jules is a villain, you are the real villain. Okay, case closed. Like, I cannot. You're transphobic, so I can't.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely rooted in transphobia.
It is. That's the weird thing, because Maddie... Sorry, just really quick. No, this actually makes me very mad, because everybody and their mother is like, Alexa to me, Alexa to me. And then it's like, they all think, oh, Maddie's so hot because of that I am Gia purple set. And then it's like, Maddie is one of the most toxic characters in the show. And like, I fully, of course, Alexa's gorgeous. Of course, Maddie's outfits are gorgeous. Like, I'm not even taking that away from anyone. But like, that's actually how it legitimately, it actually is rooted in transphobia, because I actually guarantee if Jules was played by, like, Sydney Sweeney, for example, the most conventionally attractive person. Well, I mean, Hunter is one of the most gorgeous people I've ever seen. But you know what I mean? A cisgender woman, whatever, who's, like, 5'2" and, like, adorable. It would not be the same, like, at all. Like, I promise. Yeah. Because nobody hates Maddie, which is beyond me. Like, literally beyond me. It's insane. Mm. No, people love Nate, which is a complete different even planet I can't even speak upon, because how are you watching I don't know
how
even. But it actually, I'm sorry, I just have to say, it actually, when I first saw someone say like it was rooted in transphobia, I was like, what exactly does that mean? Like, I don't think people hate her because she's transgender. But then I realized, like, legitimately what it meant, though, was like, look at the hate, the disproportionately high hate for Jules for zero reason. And people will always do that to characters. It's the same thing with, like, if the show is all white and there's this one black character, like, nobody cares about them. Like, this is, like, what happens. Mm-hmm. Oof. Go on with what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I almost wish that the cast was, like, even more direct about, like, if you hate Jules, you're wrong and you're transphobic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sam Levinson did say in an interview before these special episodes, I don't remember exactly when, he said something like, I don't understand how you can watch the show and hate Jules, because, like, you need to understand how difficult it is to love someone who is an addict. Because nobody was giving her empathy for that. They were like, she needs to cater to Rue so that Rue can stay sober, basically.
The first
it's not
thing,
that simple.
The first thing Zendaya said in, like, the post-interview of part two Jules was literally, Jules is going through a hard time and Rue's not helping her. That's the first thing. Zendaya, who plays Rue, so therefore the person who understands Rue better than anyone else, legitimately was saying Rue is not helping her. Whereas we've seen Jules help Rue countless times. Jules literally said, "If I feel like if I say no to a sleepover, she'll do something terrible. So therefore I don't say no to sleepovers." Like, do you even understand, like, her doing little things like that, like saying yes to a sleepover and all these things, like, she's helping Rue as much as she can without, like, crossing this line. And Rue isn't doing anything for her. And, like, of course, like, Rue is an addict. Like, she's going through her own stuff. But even Zendaya herself has said this relationship is not equal. And it's not – it's hard for it to even say, like, oh, they need to just do this and it'll be 100% healthy. Like, of course not. It doesn't work like that. But I genuinely, like, believe – like, the people who think Jules is a villain think, like, Walter White is, like, the cool – guy of Breaking Bad, like, you know what I like, it's those types of
I've
people.
Never seen Breaking Bad, but yeah.
Okay, but even you don't you understand. Know how he's this yeah he's actually like the villain of the yeah. show, and people like middle-aged white men are like, yo, that was sick when he like blew up those kids, like, what are you talking about? Like,
I get wanting to root for Rue because she is the main character, but
oh,
it's
joy.
Just it's way more complex than that. Like, you really can't simplify it to just
no. I think that it's more than okay for Rue is my favorite character. Like, Rue, I dress up as her every other business day. Like, you, like, I, it's insane how much I talk about Rue, and I will defend her until I'm on my last legs. However, like, you don't have to be, like, obsessed with every character, of course, but, like, I don't understand how people watch Euphoria and don't understand that one of the biggest points of the show is that they are teenagers who make mistakes. They're human.
Yeah.
I think people struggle with the show sometimes because a lot of people I know who watch the show, the only other show they watch is like The Office and Gossip Girl. And so they don't understand that the writing is actually much more human and like much more real to teens today. So when, you know, they're supposed to do one thing and instead drop their responsibilities and get drunk, that's real though. And that's what you're doing. So how are you watching the show and saying, no, they don't deserve anything when you literally do that? Like, it's crazy. Like, that's like, it's just so frustrating to me. And I feel like this is why I hate discussing the show, actually. This is why we literally need to discuss it on a platform where it is just us talking and no one else can interrupt us. Because there are so many people who, like at college, for example, because I would talk about it all the time, people would be like, oh, I want to watch this. Can I borrow your HBO? Like, whatever. And they would watch it in such a almost, like, dumbed down way. And, like, just people, like, make comments to me. You know, somebody DM'd me. This guy I went to high school with. I posted this article on Twitter that was pretty, like, viral about why, like, you hating Jules is rooted in transphobia and whatever. Oh, yeah. And I posted it and I was like, oh, great read and whatever. And this guy I went to high school with who is a film major, he made films all throughout high school, responds and goes, wait, Jules is transgender? Like, no, death drop, audience boos, silence, crickets. What the? I can't even.
It's like some people really need every single thing spelled out.
They need it. No, they need a camera shot. They need it to be filmed like The Office, and they need Jules to literally break the fourth wall and turn to the camera and legitimately say, so I am a transgender woman. Oh my God. I could actually name right now 50 different like scenes that show. I can't. It's beyond me. Who watches the show? And like, you're just missing half her character. That is bizarre. That's bizarre. That's like saying, wait, Rue is an addict? What is wrong with you? And like, it's something that Jules very much has pride in. And something that I really love too is like, Jules is actually pictured in like her underwear a lot. And she's pictured in very intimate poses and settings and all these things. And out of maybe like every character, she's very much in like her bra and underwear a lot. She's taking pictures. She very much embraces her body. So I literally don't understand what hint you need. Sam Levinson is going to show up to these people's houses, knock on their doors and say, yes, Jules is trans, and also stop watching the show because it is clearly not for you. But, like, bizarre. And it, like, he was not the only person to say that to me. It's like really concerning.
Well, returning back to this Jules special episode specifically, basically, the point that is made in this episode about Rules as a relationship is that Jules is fully in love with Rue, and she, you know, really appreciates her and is in love with her. But at the same time, she says she's also really angry at Rue because she feels, which we've said, that Rue's sobriety is dependent on how Jules acts towards her, basically. And like you said, like, if she says no to a sleepover, she's afraid that Rue will relapse. And so I feel like that's, you know, if you're going to take away anything from this, take away that Jules does love Rue, because a lot of people were questioning that. And that at the same time, she's struggling to, she's a 17-year-old girl. And even if you're not young, like, anybody feeling that someone else's sobriety is completely dependent on them and it's on their shoulders is extremely difficult. You can't just ignore that.
And you even see Jules's dad is in like this hard place of trying to deal with his ex who is an addict and his daughter who doesn't want to pay. Like, that's like, yeah, any age, regardless of who you are, it's this crazy position to be in. So I think something that we surprisingly haven't really touched on yet is something that's super important, especially for, you know, thinking forward to season two. So first of all, Jules's episode was very much kind of rooted in the past, much more than Rue's. The only time Rue, like, mentioned things about Jules and stuff, it was, like, this vision of them after high school. And I think they're only, like, juniors right now. Maybe seniors? No, juniors. Yeah. Whereas Jules's was a little more in the past and, like, understandably so, mentioning, you know, her mom and her grandma living by the sea and, like, all these things. And something else that's a huge part of her recent past is this relationship with Shy Guy, who we now know was Nate, but as she knows is Tyler. And something that's really interesting to see about season two is that Jules admitted out loud, she said, I have the exact quote, she said, first she said, it's easier to talk to people online. Miranda and I met online, so confirmed. And she said, the fact that none of it's real. And then she said, half of every relationship is in my head. I think that was when she answered the question, like, why does she fall in love so easily and so quickly? And she said, it's because half of every relationship is in my head. And that was legitimately shown because she was like flirting around and having these sort of sexual acts with this man who was very obviously meant to look a little bit like Nate, but also he was just supposed to be this like embodiment of Tyler. It didn't really show his face much. It was just this, you know, random guy with a great body she was envisioning in her head. And then she sort of quickly got a shot of Nate's face and Nate saying, you know, don't look at my face, and, you know, putting his hand down on her face as he probably would do. And it was very interesting because Jules herself, she actually then too said she doesn't want to tell Rue, but she definitely thinks she got to know this quote unquote Tyler better than Rue. And it's really interesting because I think it's very clear that Jules is not at all like ready to let that relationship with quote unquote Tyler go, even though it's not real, because she even said herself, like, she knew kind of it wasn't real. Like, even her imagining what he looks like in her head, of course that's not going to match up, like, everything about it. And I think that's a very big part for season two. And I think that's a huge reason why, like, you should watch this episode, because that is so, like, I almost forgot that whole stuff happened. And then I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is like, Jules was very, very in love. She said it was the best sex she ever had just sexting him. That's iconic. Anyways, yeah, go. What were you going to say?
Well, please? I do want to say there is this one quick scene where it flashes back to sometime during season one. We don't know exactly when, but it's Jules and Rue talking about this Tyler guy. Jules specifically tells Rue, she says, it's not in my head. Because Rue is like questioning, you know, she's like, it could be anyone. You don't know who really is. Like, how can you like really love this guy if you've never met him, blah, blah, blah. And Jules says, it's not in my head. And then to have future Jules being like recognizing that half of every relationship is in her head, I think that really shows growth. But it also shows, I mean, she was sort of forced to grow through this terrible experience of literally being catfished. And, you know, it makes you, forces you to become more self-aware. Because I'm sure she's been sitting thinking, how did I let that happen to me? She says she wishes she had never met him because that would be so much easier. But I just feel like, you know, there's jokes all the time on the internet, whatever, about being catfished. But this is, imagine that happening to you. Like, you really think that you know someone and you know who they are. And well, then this, all of a sudden it's revealed that it's actually this terrible man.
This basically, because when I met Miranda via the internet, we became very close very fast. And I called her Mir, and I thought her name was Mir. Okay.
I was like, where are you going with this?
No, you did not turn out to be a terrible man, thank God. But I, you know, her name was set to M-I-R. So obviously I'm going to call her Mir. And then I see not only is it pronounced Mir, but her name's Miranda. This is a very tricky situation to be in.
So sorry, Julia.
Yes. From one Jules to another, like this, no, but in all seriousness, I actually, because you were saying it shows growth, and I think to some extent it does, but I also think it shows, well, because when she said that to Rue, she didn't know it was Nate yet, but I do think it kind of shows the dishonesty between Jules and Rue that they can't help. All of us have lied to our friends, it's a part of being a human, and Rue and Jules both have a huge problem with this. Of course, I mean, Rue herself was an addict who constantly lied to the people she loved the most about, you know, her current sobriety and stuff. But Jules, after she met with this Tyler and found out it was Nate, Rue, you know, asked her how it went. And Jules legitimately said he didn't look like his picture, which, as we know, is a very dumbed down version of what happened. It's a very vague version of what happened. She failed to mention that this was a, like, violent man in their grade who now decided to turn around and blackmail her and getting her involved with the police, like, everything. And she also knew, I mean, I think she had good intentions by not saying it was Nate. I think she knows that Rue would do something completely unforgivable and or just crazy. Like, unforgiving in the sense of, like, literally the law would get involved or, like, she'd be suspended. Like, just stuff like that. Like, she would obviously do anything for Jules, and Jules didn't want to see her have to deal with like repercussions and stuff. But both of them are very dishonest with each other, and I think that it's clear because Jules went through this huge thing and she's not telling Rue that this is a guy in their grade that they see every day. It's crazy. And I mean, all the characters are very dishonest in the show, but that's like what I like about it. And as a viewer, it's funny because it makes it like so frustrating for you because you you know, it's like this irony of like you want them to just spill out the truth. But it was like really heartbreaking because I think that Jules, because she doesn't feel like she can talk about it with anyone else because it's so personal, it's Nate. Like she knows who's been catfishing her. Instead, she's dealing with it all internally. So she, I think she's known the sort of thing about like, oh, half of every relationship's in my head for a while now. Because even with Rue, Rue's an addict and she dreams of this perfect future with them that's probably very, you know, hard to attain. I think she, like Jules is a very smart character. And like you said, like all of us, like none of us have it figured out. You can't be 1,000% self-aware. But I almost think it kind of shows the dishonesty between them. And she even said during that scene, he knows me better than anyone else, other than you, of course, to make sure Rue doesn't turn around and do something because she thinks Jules doesn't like her anymore. And then she turns around to her therapist and she's like, honestly, he knows me better than Rue does. And like, that's crazy. Yeah. You know? And I think Jules definitely feels a need to like edit herself constantly, which is really
sad. And I would go off of that to say it's not just dishonesty, it's just like really a general lack of communication. Because we do, what we learn in this episode is that Jules, I mean, Jules says, there were so many times I wanted to kiss her about Rue. And then it shows these sort of flashbacks to these times where Jules is literally struggling to not kiss Rue. And then after when Rue does kiss her, Jules freezes up. And so it just shows how they were both, because we know from season one, Rue was falling for Jules this entire time. It shows how they were both feeling basically the exact same things for each other, but not communicating it. And they were both struggling so much with these romantic feelings that they had for each other. But because they didn't say anything, it made it so much harder. Because they didn't think, Jules says, how could it be possible that Rue loved me as much as I loved her? Which is so heartbreaking. But, you know, they're both just too insecure. They didn't think that the other one would want to be romantic in that way.
Of course. And as somebody who's never even been remotely close to being in a relationship, I can confirm that this happens all the time. And I'm completely entitled to talk about this. It's a big, like, lack of communication literally stalls people for so long and sometimes forever, and they never get together and whatever. And yeah, right. But no, it's really sad because neither one of them believes the other could ever truly love them because they see the other as just this great person who's not dealing with the stuff they're dealing with, of course. And it's really sad because I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, but it's really sad because we see it through Jules' point of view. But in Rue's point of view, like you said, she's going through the same thing because when she kissed Jules for that first time and Jules froze up, Rue didn't even give Jules a chance to say anything. She ran out. And we can talk about the actual ending in a minute. But at the ending, we see it too, where it's like the second Rue has said her piece, it's easier to just completely run out and not give. And that happens a lot, right? You don't want to give the other person a chance to like embarrass you further because on the off chance they turn around and say like, I hate you, or oh my God, why'd you do that? Like you can just completely avoid that. But as a result of completely avoiding that, you're automatically going to go home thinking like, oh, that was so embarrassing. And that, like, you're not even giving the other person a chance. And even remember when Jules went away for the weekend and she was describing to Rue her hookup with her friend? That scene was very interesting because a lot of fans are like, ew, how could Jules do that to Rue? But they never, because you can see on Rue's face, she's trying to decide how to react to that because they never once said they're in a real relationship. They never once said this is a closed thing. They, you know what I mean? They never once said we can't kiss other people.
That's so what I was talking about, how they never put a label on it.
Exactly, right. So Jules, I feel like, purposely mentions the hookup thing to get it out there and to, like, confirm, like, oh, we haven't labeled anything, so just so you know, like, this is what I've been doing. And she was even honest with Rue and saying, like, I'm talking to this guy. Like she was in love with this person online like the whole season. And so many people were like, that's so unfair, blah blah blah. But like, you have to understand, like, their relationship makes no sense. Like, there's no communication. It's not good for either of them right now. They both Hunter and Zendaya have admitted that, both Jules's therapist and Lee have sort of alluded towards the fact that, like, this is just, like, not what they need. Like, and like, even me, like, I love Rue, so I was like, oh, I wish, and like, when I first saw Jules like kissing her friend, I was like, oh my God, like, I wish this wasn't happening. Of course, like, we want them to be happy, but they never once labeled anything. As far as both of them are concerned, or as far as the outside world's concerned, they're 100% single, both of them.
Well, the thing is that Hunter has said that she feels that Jules is the type of person who can fall in love with multiple people at once.
Right.
And so I do feel like in discussing Rue and Jules's romantic relationship, there is something to be said about how, like, they're not monogamous. Like, you can talk about monogamy and talk about, oh, like, maybe they should put a label on it so that they're official and they're not going to be, you know, doing anything with anything with anyone else. And that's a whole other conversation. But the point is, like, they never established that. They never said, okay, we're going to be an exclusive couple.
Right, because even if they said we're dating, that still doesn't mean you can't kiss other people. Like, you still would have to have that discussion in itself, too. So,
which is, you know, an interesting representation of, as I said earlier, complicated queer relationships. Because not every relationship is like Jim and Pam, who are like this straight couple who are like so in love with each other and that's all. You know what I mean?
Right. That's so like, true. That's so much more right. than that. That's representation we get, but it's not accurate. And that's why I think so many people who are like these straight white 18-year-old girls watching the show completely struggle to understand. And once again, I've never been in a relationship, guys, you know, so this is not something I'm gonna, you know, log on here in like 5 years when I finally am in my first relationship and be like, I was wrong. but I think it's really strange that people don't understand other people's business when it's not something they've personally related to. And that's what's frustrating about Euphoria, because if that were the case, then like, okay, how do you have sympathy for Rue then if you're not an addict? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are so many things that happen in Euphoria where I'm like, okay, so why do you understand this person's point of view if you've not lived their exact life? Because TV shows and movies are extremes. They are, because they're a form of entertainment. Of course they have to be a little bit extreme so that we tune in the next week, of course. Like, do I think the average friend group in that upper middle class, like, suburban life is made up of people exactly like them? That'd be a bit much, but I mean, maybe some, of course. But people also don't understand, like, movies and TV will always be an exaggeration. It'll always be stylization. I mean, Euphoria, literally, in every episode, there's glitter goozing out of every hole in their body. And people are like, but what doesn't make sense is that Jules kissed somebody else. That's what you're questioning, girl. Rue was walking on the walls, episode one, just mere minutes into the episode. And people are like, yeah, but it doesn't make sense how Nate is so hot, but just so bad. Like, what do you say? Oh, I didn't know Jules was trans. Like, why don't you shut off your TV, cancel the HBO subscription, and stop talking? It's like crazy.
Yeah. Biggest worry for season two is to see how Jules's experience with her mom affects her relationship with Rue from now on, because with the therapist said, the therapist is like, you feel the same way about Rue as you do towards your mom, right? And Jules is like, what? And the therapist is sort of, you know, you're angry with your mom and you're resentful for what her addiction does to you. So don't you feel the same way about Rue? And Jules is still sort of, she's like, I guess. And so that's my biggest worry, because obviously I assume at some point Jules and her mom were close. We don't really know when exactly stuff sort of fell apart with her relationship with her mom, but you know, the same thing could happen where even if Rue and Jules are so in love right now, if this continues to be such a big problem, if they continue to have such poor communication and everything, the exact same thing could happen and Jules could end up resenting Rue.
Yeah, that was really sad, because when Jules said, did she say how she didn't want to tell Rue this because she would, oh yeah, she was like, because yeah, Rue would think I feel Rue the same way about her.
Exactly.
That was really sad, because I was thinking about it and I was like, yeah, there actually is no solution to that, because if she doesn't tell Rue, it's kind of like she's lying and she's like failing to mention this huge part of her life that's directly relatable to Rue's life. But at the same time, if she told Rue that, I mean, if I was Rue and someone was like, oh, by the way, I refuse to talk to someone who is dealing with a huge problem you're also dealing with right now, I'd be like, well, I feel terrible. Like, of course Rue would feel terrible. And Rue is already very insecure. And Jules has already admitted she feels like if she's out there for Rue every second of every day, Rue's going to relapse and or do something else terrible. So, of course, Rue probably will say, oh, it's okay, I know you don't feel the same about me, and then go home and be completely not okay in the slightest. That's such a tricky situation. And, like, this writing is really good. Remember how Zendaya literally said, like, oh, if you think season one was bad, you're not even ready. And I was like, well, fantastic. I love that. But it's going to be really crazy. And oof, like I said, Jules could not have like less options. It's just really, I feel so bad. And that's why I feel so bad for her. And I think that even if we want to look beyond Rue and Jules for a second, which frankly, I don't even give a damn about the rest of the characters. Like, you know, did you see that tweet the other day where someone was like, am I going to get attacked if I admit now that I literally only care about Rue and Jules? And I was like, so true. Again, because it got so many likes where everyone was like, literally, because after two episodes like that, how can you, like, because one of the responses was like, yeah, I'm supposed to go back to caring about McKay. And it's like so true. Like, there is so many like smaller characters. Like, I'm sorry, but Lexi, she better step up. Like, she better do something super interesting or I'm done with this mysterious Rue. Like, I'm done. Like, it's just really crazy because Rue and Jules are such complex three-dimensional characters and it's going to be crazy to see what they do. Oh, but so what I was going to say is the other characters too are often left with very few choices. Like, remember when Maddie asked Nate why he had penises on his phone. And he was like, I swear to you, I'm not gay. I swear to you, I have no attraction to boys, but I just cannot tell you that. Like, what? Like, where do you go from there? Like, that's so strange. And then, I mean, he literally abused her. I mean, all the characters have been through crazy stuff. And it's like, where do you go from there? Like, where do you go from there? And like I said, don't care about the other characters, but where? Where?
So sort of wrapping this up, we will discuss the very last scene where Rue comes. So this is after Jules' therapy session and she's home. And Rue comes and comes into her room to say hi. And she says, which another lie, Rue says that she was on her way to the diner to meet Ali. But we know from other factors, like the fact that her hair is wet because it was raining. And if you watch the first episode, you can see that was after they left the diner. It's actually after she went to speak to Ali. And so it's interesting to see where Rue is and that she makes this decision to go say hi to Jules after that whole conversation with Ali. And Hunter said just yesterday or recently on Twitter said that they originally had something a bit more complicated written for that scene. And then they basically rewrote it like right as they were filming it, to make it just simpler, to make it a little bit more hopeful for them. And so, yeah, it was really, it was very heartbreaking, but it was also really beautiful, as the entire episode was.
I didn't know that. In part one, Rue gets a text from Jules, like saying, I miss you. I completely forgot that. So this is Rue doing what she knows is not going to be good for her. Ali literally dropped her at her house and this biatch turned around and got on her bike and said, to Jules Vons as I go. And it's like, what? Anyways, and once again, she did the classic Rue of saying her piece and completely walking out. You can literally see Jules completely, she's like struggling to get a word out and she's like tearing up and she's kind of like staring at the space in which Rue's just left and she's like, what just happened? I think that was a cool way to end it too, because they're very ominous like that. It's very like you never really know where they stand, and I think it's because they don't know either. I really like how Rue said your dad let me in, because Jules is grounded. She has just run away from home and her dad is still like, of course you can go and see Jules, you two ladies have fun. Like, are you kidding me? That's so sweet. What other dad would ever? That's crazy. Well, guys,
that's all. Basically, the point is Rue and Jules are the best characters of Euphoria, and only watch Euphoria if you are smart. If you are too dumb to understand the emotional complexities, please turn it off.
Exactly. I was going to say, loving Rue and Jules is meant for sexy people. So if it's not hitting you, then I got news for you.
Exactly.
I will say, please, maybe if you genuinely thought Jules was a villain, after watching part two, go back and rewatch season one with the knowledge that you know about Jules's mother being an addict and coming back into her life as she's also fallen in love with another addict, Rue. And maybe that will clear things up for you. You shouldn't have thought, I've actually seen a lot of people saying, you know, you shouldn't have thought she was a villain to begin with. And I agree with that. If you thought she was a villain to begin with, like, that's actually really ridiculous. But just remember, guys, if you think Jules Vaughn is the villain, you are the villain. And I'm talking like Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, like not even like a cool villain.
Yeah, not a sexy villain.
No, not a sexy villain, because they tend to be not a sexy villain. Thank you guys so much for listening. Remember, this is a special episode.
Yes. Regular episodes will be every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. Whatever day we release this on, if you come back in 7 days from now, I swear. I swear, because this was a special circumstance. When anything Euphoria-related happens, yes, we will bend the rules. It has to happen sometimes. So come back next week.
I mean, really what you should do is subscribe to our podcast. And then you will just be notified every time we have a new episode. Much easier.
That sounds like the best case scenario, Miranda. I'm so excited to embark on this journey with the rest of you. If you agreed with what we said, if you disagreed, well, if you disagreed, you know, keep your opinions to yourself. But if you agreed, if you have questions, comments, concerns, if you think we looked beautiful, because you can just like hear it in our voice and stuff, like the way like, you know, we've been styled today, feel free to email us at pnraspberry@gmail.com. Or text us, girls. Follow us on Instagram. Rate this 5 million stars. Subscribe. And go have your little Euphoria dance party now.
Yes.
Yay. Euphoria season 2 comes out not soon
this
enough.
This year. End of this year, though.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay. So see you guys at the end of 2021. I'm so excited.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, guys. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed another episode of Miranda and I going on about God knows what this time.
If you'd like to hear more of our ramblings, come back every Wednesday for another glimpse into the one small but strong brain cell Julia and I share.
Unless, of course, this is our season finale?
Well, yeah, but we would have specified that before this outro, right?
I want to say yes, but it also seems like something we'd forget, seeing as you've just pinned us as girls with literally half a brain cell each, so...
Well, I assume that brain cell was 3/4 mine, and you had that 25% all to yourself.
As Miranda has made clear, join us next week or go back to our previous episodes to keep you quenched for the next 7 days. I'm Julia.
And I'm Miranda. Thanks for listening to us.
Put the P in raspberry. Miranda, you were like really behind on that. That was weird.
I wasn't behind.
You were, Miss 3/4 brain cell. You absolutely were.
Okay, well, you just talk fast, and I was taking my time.
Leos are always taking their time, and it's like, for what? Exactly, for what?
It sounded good. Our audience loved it. It sounded good.
And you know what?